Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights, conversations exploring network transformation through interviews with industry experts.
Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights. My name is Allison Klein. We're coming to you from the SDN NFV World Congress in The Hague, and I'm happy to be joined by Ignacio Verona, Senior Solutions Architect at Red Hat. Welcome, Ignacio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Ignacio, why don't you just start with introducing yourself and what your role is at Red Hat?
So, I've been with Red Hat for 2 years and a half now. I'm inside a team which is called the Telco Technology Office, the TTO. So, we are covering all the accounts and all the service providers in EMEA. And I think it's a really nice position because we have a lot of interaction with all the ecosystem which is here in EMEA. So, we also have some contacts, of course, with our colleagues in the US and in Asia. So, it's a nice position to be up to date on what is happening on the industry.
Red Hat is obviously known for delivery of solutions for data center environments, maybe not as famous for the telco arena. Tell me about what the focus is from Red Hat for telco and how that relates to your broader portfolio.
That's true. Red Hat was not super famous when it came to telco networks, but since the NFV revolution or evolution started, we have a lot of things that we can offer because we can actually offer our OpenStack platform, which is like the basis. It's just a thin layer, but the most important layer probably because it's where your VNFs are going to be running. And other than that, everything, it's based on RHEL. So not only the OpenStack platform, but also your VNFs or the VNFs that our customers will be running can be based on RHEL. Also, we have an automation portfolio, which is what we are going to be discussing here today, which is going to make your life a bit easier when it comes to achieving all the agility and flexibility that you need on the network. So that's mostly what we have. And we, of course, also have storage. We have some other products. But for telco, we are usually focusing on that, on virtualization, which are with OpenStack, and with Ceph and Gluster for the storage.
You named off a lot of the products that many people have heard about. Today's topic is on Ansible and how that is relating to automation for network functions in particular. Tell me about Ansible and how it fits into the portfolio that folks have been depending on in their data centers and networks for a long time.
So Ansible is really the single product that you can have to automate everything that you need across the multiple business units that you have in your company, because you can use Ansible to automate everything from public cloud, private cloud. You can deploy things on OpenStack, but you can also manage the applications that are on top. You can also provision the applications which are going to run on top of your infrastructure. And other than that, which is one of the good things of Ansible, you are going to be using a single language or a single framework to also manage all your network infrastructure. So you can also use Ansible to manage your routers, your switches, everything that you have on your infrastructure.
Now, I know that Ansible has been around for a while, but there has been an update recently associated with how Ansible actually integrates with your OpenShift platform. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, that's also a great improvement because now you are able to deploy Ansible Tower on top of OpenShift, which you don't know, OpenShift is the enterprise Kubernetes platform where you can deploy your containers. So now Ansible Tower can be deployed as containers running on top of OpenShift. That makes the application itself super easy to scale out because as soon as you are going to have more workloads, you provide need to manually, or before you had to manually add new workers to the platform. Now with OpenShift, that can all done be automatically. So the platform is going to take care of deploying the new workers that you need to manage the new playbooks or the new automation scripts.
This sounds like a fantastic solution for those providers who are wrestling with, I've got some VNFs, I want to take some of my workloads as cloud native deployment, and I want to automate all of it.
That's it. Actually, usually what we are talking when we talk containers with our customers, because we know that containers and 5G is really related. So we are talking with a lot of our customers about how to move the VNFs to a container platform like OpenShift. So you should be able to have a single platform where you deploy all your applications, your VNFs, but also your management applications. So that makes, again, your life easier because you just manage a single platform, which is OpenShift in this case, where you can have Ansible Tower, you can have Ansible Engine, which is like the one in charge of executing the playbooks, and you can also have all your applications on top of that. So that's making a lot of sense when you move to the edge, when you start talking about 5G. So it's an interesting option that our customers can use.
When you talk to customers, where are they in terms of advancement of deployment of solutions like that? And what do you think are the hurdles that we have to work with as an industry with the provider community to manifest the ultimate vision of what you're talking about?
So the most important thing that we need to talk to most of our customers is the long-term view on their automation strategy. It's not just automating what you are doing now. It's not just imitating or replicating the manual steps that you are doing now. It's having a complete automation strategy, which includes where do you get the information that you need, so what is going to be your single source of truth or your CMDB, so how are you going to manage the information, and how you are planning to modify the way you are working, your processes, to integrate automation, because probably the changing the mindset of the people which is working on the company is one of the most important things. We are not trying to change what they are doing, but we are trying to improve the way that they are spending their time. So probably changing the mindset and making automation part of the strategy is one of the most important things that we have to discuss with our customers. It's not actually the technology itself.
When you look at the baseline of what you're delivering, Red Hat has been always such a great proponent of open source. What is required of the open source community to continue to push the edge forward in terms of open configurations that can be deployed with confidence?
So actually, that's another of the really good use cases for automation, because as soon as you are going to the edge, you are going to increase exponentially the number of sites that you have. So you definitely need to have automation there. So that's also one of the use cases that we are looking into. So we are also collaborating on the upstream communities to make the edge a reality. And automation is a key part of that. So you are able to have all your sites managed in an automated fashion. Even we have been talking to customers which are using artificial intelligence to make sure that things are working in the proper way. Of course, with Ansible, we are not providing that intelligence, but we are providing the means to make the changes that you need in your platform in a super simple way, yet powerful. So from our perspective, working with the edge, it's something key. We are talking to a lot of the customers about the edge, and we are trying to put the value of the community, because all the innovations that are happening nowadays are happening on the communities and the upstream communities. That's one of the main, if not the main, purpose of Red Hat. We are working with the communities. We are never going to fork any of our products, because that would mean moving outside of the community. So, for example, if we are talking today about Ansible, Ansible is a huge community and a community which is super alive. If you propose a pull request, that pull request is probably going to be accepted in a few hours. So that's the power of the open source community, that if you need something, you can either do it yourself, or you can have someone which is working for you, because probably they already found the same problem somewhere. So that's the value of the upstream communities.
Now, with Ansible Tower, what kind of companies have you had success with in terms of driving automation into their network functions? And can you give some examples?
Yeah, so Ansible Tower is the tool that probably you will need to have as soon as you are growing on your automation strategy. Because if not, you will have to run the playbooks from your laptop, which is probably not the best thing to do. You have not logs. You don't know who did that and when. So Ansible Tower is the piece of software that you need to put on top of Ansible Engine, which is providing you an API, which makes it possible to integrate your automation with the rest of the applications that you already have on your organization. And it's going to become a key part of your automation strategy. And for example, we have a success with Swisscom, which is using Ansible and Ansible Tower to automate like 15,000 different components, including switches, routers, as part of their strategy. So that's not possible to do without Tower, because without Tower, you will have to run those playbooks from a specific page. You will have no information about what was happening. So this is why putting Tower is so important. And we believe that when you are growing on your strategy, you need to have that. So it's the way to scale up on your automation strategy.
But it really does bring to bear the amount of complexity that these customers are working with and why automation is so critical.
It's actually, it's starting to reduce the complexity, because, for example, using Tower, you can have all your playbooks, the scripts that you are going to run with Ansible. You can have them on a version control system. You can have Ansible Tower refresh that information every time that you are trying to execute the playbook. You can define fine-grained role-based access control to know who is executing that. So as you are growing, probably the complexity of your automation is also going to grow, but you need to have that under control. And this is what we try to manage with Ansible Tower. And this is what organizations are looking into Ansible Tower, to try to reduce the complexity while having everything under control.
Ignacio, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. One final question for you. If folks can find out more information about the solutions that you're talking about, including Ansible as well as OpenShift, where would you send them for more information?
So you can go to our main webpage, which is redhat.com. You will find an Ansible chapter, a part of the webpage, which is dedicated to Ansible. And Ansible has really a great open source and upstream documentation. You can check all the modules which are supported, all the different parameters. You can even check the documentation for Ansible Tower, the APIs, everything. So you can either check the redhat.com webpage or ansible.com, where you will have all the information about the modules and everything which is supported on Ansible.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.